Dr. George Dimitri, Dana-Farber Cancer Institute.
Over the past 5 years, 51% of all FDA-approved cancer drugs have had substantial input from Dana-Farber scientists and clinical investigators. And that comes from the culture here, the very basic curiosity-driven scientists that are probing really how cancer works.
At Dana-Farber, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Good morning, I'm Taylor Wilson, and this is 5 Things You Need to Know Thursday, the 13th of April, 2023. Today, another Tennessee lawmaker has been reappointed. Plus, an e-cigarette maker will pay millions after a series of lawsuits, and NPR quits Twitter. The second of two Tennessee lawmakers expelled by Republicans was reappointed yesterday.
They ended up putting themselves on trial. Yeah. And the people's verdict is back. Yeah. Guilty.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Guilty. Guilty. Guilty.
That's Justin Pearson, one of two Black Democratic state legislators whose expulsion from the state house last week sparked a national backlash. For more, I spoke with Commercial Appeal government reporter Catherine Burgess. Catherine, thanks for hopping on the podcast.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
So Catherine, let's just set the stage to start. Why was Justin Pearson expelled from the Tennessee House of Representatives in the first place?
Justin Pearson and Justin Jones, who represents Davidson County, were expelled from the Tennessee State House after they engaged in protests related to the Covenant School shooting. They were advocating for tighter gun restrictions, along with Representative Gloria Johnson, who represents Knoxville. So the three of them went forward, led chants, engaged with many young people who were in the Capitol, and broke House rules of decorum.
And days later, Pearson has now been reappointed. Was this expected after Representative Jones was also reinstated?
Yes, I think this was expected even before Representative Jones was reinstated. Shelby County Commission, which is the body that decides whether or not to reappoint an interim, has a 9-member Democratic supermajority. Not all of them were able to be present. There were 7 Democrats present, but Pearson was still able to easily get the 7 votes he needed to be reappointed.
And what was the scene like as his supporters gathered after the vote?
There was so much applause, so much cheering, chants of Justin, Justin. The chambers were absolutely packed. The audience was really excited. After the vote, members of the crowd, Justin Pearson's supporters, and Pearson himself spilled out into the plaza outside the Shelby County Government Building, where there was very much a party-like atmosphere. Music was playing. It was a very joyous moment for the people gathered, but also slightly tempered by Justin Pearson reminding people that there is a weight on his shoulders to continue seeking gun reform. So very joyful, but also an awareness that this was something prompted by a very serious moment.
And what are lawmakers saying about a possible investigation into these expulsions?
Top leadership in the country have called on the Department of Justice to investigate. There's specifically 3 things they are asking to be investigated. The first is whether the rights of the people who are represented by Jones and Pearson have been violated and them losing representation for a week. And the second is whether the rights of Representatives Jones and Pearson are violated for them exercising their free speech and freedom of assembly. And the third is whether the rights of Jones and Pearson were violated based on race, because notably they were expelled and they are both young Black men, while Gloria Johnson, the representative from Knoxville, a white woman, was not expelled.
Commercial Appeal government reporter Catherine Burgess, thanks so much.
Thank you.
A video circulating on social media that appears to show a Ukrainian soldier being decapitated fueled outrage yesterday and prompted a war crimes investigation. The chief of Ukraine's security service, Vasil Maliuk, said, quote, "We will find these monsters," unquote. And Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky pledged to neither forgive the killers nor forget the crimes. He also referred to Bucha, a city where hundreds of bodies were found in mass graves after Russian occupiers fled. Meanwhile, a Kremlin spokesman questioned the authenticity of this week's video. Inflation slowed for a ninth straight month in March amid drops in both gasoline and grocery prices. According to the Labor Department's Consumer Price Index, consumer prices overall increased 5% from a year earlier, down from 6% in February, and a 40-year high of 9.1% last June. Meanwhile, rent continues to be the biggest driver of inflation, but the increase notably slowed. Rent increased 0.5%, down from 0.8% in February, but it's still up 8.8% the past year. Economists do expect rents to fall later this year. Embattled e-cigarette maker Juul will pay nearly $500 million to settle a series of lawsuits. USA Today health reporter Ken Oltucker explains. Ken, welcome to Five Things.
Thanks for having me.
So Ken, what exactly did these lawsuits focus on?
Well, we had a half dozen states: California, Colorado, Illinois, Massachusetts, New Mexico, New York, as well as the District of Columbia, who largely alleged that Juul targeted marketing efforts towards underage vapers. This was a collective settlement for those six states and DC. And as part of it, Juul agreed to pay $462 million. Juul denied any wrongdoing, but they've been settling a bunch of cases. Now they say they're up to 47 states and territories, and they've paid out over $1 billion. And the way the company describes it is these largely deal with past business practices.
So Ken, how big of a deal is the teen vaping crisis in America?
Well, in 2019, it kind of snuck up in many ways, where there's a national survey the federal government does, and it found more than one quarter of high school students were using vaping devices. There was a more recent survey last year, and it found that those numbers had dropped. Researchers cautioned the two studies weren't directly comparable because of different methodologies, as well as the pandemic that sort of hampered collection efforts.
Ken, can you just explain to us a little about the risks to vaping?
Sure. Now, as with everything with vaping, there are different views on this. Federally funded research shows that there might be some cardiovascular risk. This is from the National Institutes of Health. The CDC says nicotine is, of course, addictive, and that's what these devices deliver, and can harm adolescent brain development. However, you know, long-term risks are still being studied. Now, vaping industry supporters and advocates will say it's less harmful than cigarette smoking, and they sort of portray it as a harm reduction effort because you're not inhaling the harmful chemicals that are in tobacco. However, health folks, groups like the American Lung Association, warn that we really don't know what the long-term effects of these chemicals are, and it's a risk.
Ken Oltucker, thanks so much.
Okay, thanks for your time.
NPR is leaving Twitter. The move comes about a week after the social media platform designated the outlet as state-affiliated media. That's the same designation often used to identify propaganda and media outlets controlled by authoritarian governments. Twitter later changed the label to government-funded media, but NPR maintains that both labels are inaccurate, noting that the nonprofit news company operates independently from the U.S. government. The company said that federal funding from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting accounts for less than 1% of NPR's annual operating budget. In addition to NPR, Twitter has given the government-funded media label to several other outlets as of yesterday, including PBS and the BBC. PBS said yesterday that it has also stopped tweeting from its main account. USA Today reached out to Twitter for a statement yesterday. The press account replied with a poop emoji. Thanks for listening to Five Things. You can find us every day wherever you get your audio. I'm back tomorrow with more of Five Things from USA Today.
Dr. George Dimitri, medical oncologist, Dana-Farber Cancer Institute.
Over the past 5 years, 51% of all FDA-approved cancer drugs have had substantial input from Dana-Farber scientists and clinical investigators. And that comes from the culture here, the very basic curiosity-driven scientists that are probing really how cancer works, and then the expert clinicians that interact with patients and families every day. It's not easy to have input at a substantive level to new drugs that are safe and effective at treating cancer. So our whole mantra has always been to try to minimize risks to patients and yet try to maximize the opportunity of finding how effective a new treatment could be. And that means understanding cancer really, really deeply.
At Dana-Farber, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at DanaFarber.org/everywhere.